Welcome to the ASRemo tutorial session 3.3, where we're looking at spatial analysis applied to the simultaneous analysis of a series of trials, that is, a multi-environment trial which has a common set of varieties sown at a series of trials, and we want to fit a spatial analysis at each site in the combined analysis. Multi-environment trials, these are trials where you have a common set of varieties sown at several locations. Sometimes they are unreplicated trials, that is, trials where the test lines are unreplicated and you have an appropriate arrangement of check lines or possibly of replicated test lines to provide a measure of the spatial variation. There needs to be some replication in an analysis for the analysis to proceed. Well, what we're talking about here then is early generational serial breeding, where you have several trials with low replication of test lines and some extra 20% plots which provide error. Traditionally, these would have been check lines, although modern designing is suggesting that you're generally better off to provide repeats of your test lines than to get a large amount of information on a few check lines that you already know a lot about. Now, there's more power then, allowing for a correlation of genetic effects across the sites, because with varieties fitted as random effects, you can build on the fact that you expect the varieties to be basically similarly ranked, not individually exactly the same, but similarly ranked across the set of sites that you're exploring. And this is achieved by analysing the various experiments together. So here we have a simple case of three trials. These trials had 336 test lines and six check lines, and the seventh check line was in fact representing the mean of the test line. So the seventh check line was in fact a code for a test line. Now, the experiments were not all exactly the same shape, but the data was grouped: experiment 1, experiment 2, experiment 3 in the data file met.dat. The columns in the file were a sequence number, which we're going to ignore, a column identifier, and it ranged from 1 to 15, although in experiments 1 and 2 it only ranged from 1 to 12. There was the row code, and it went from 1 to 34, although in the third experiment it only went up to 28. The checks were coded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6, and if it was a test line it was coded 7 as check 7. The test lines were coded 7 up to 336, with the check lines coded as a 0, and we have a genotype code here of 337. Genotypes 1 to 6 are the check lines, genotypes 7 to 336 are the test lines, and genotype 337 is an extra fill-in line used in two of the sites, which effectively serves as an extra check. And then the yield, and again we've scaled the yield dividing by 100. The final column indicates which site it is, so site is coded in the data file. We have then the data file, and the qualifier section site gets ASRemo to check that the sites are sorted properly, that all of site 1 is first, that all of site 2 is second, and all of site 3 is third. It doesn't sort them into order, it just checks, so the sorting needs to be done manually. Now, the comment that I should make is that for this spatial analysis, ASRemo assumes that you have a complete grid. So if there are some missing plots, you need to include a data row for those plots with an appropriate treatment level, but the response will be a missing value, and you include MV as a model term in the model to estimate the missing values. Then we have a complete grid for the correlation structure, and that becomes the convenient way of fitting that model. Otherwise, we end up with a very messy correlation structure for the residuals because there are missing plots which mess up the structure. Continuing the model, yield is modelled as site. We need to allow a special site mean. Check.site, we have a fixed mean for each of the check lines and for the average of the test lines. Now, we've done an initial analysis of each of these sites and found out that there are random row effects at site 3 and that there are random column effects at each of the three sites. And so this is now coded in the model by saying at site 3.row, in other words, fit row factor as a random factor for site 3 and give it an initial variance of 0.02. This is a multiple site trial, so the analysis is actually going to be done on the variance scale rather than on a relative scale. The reason being that there are three sites, so it's not obvious what is the natural basis if you're trying to do it on a relative scale. So we do it on the actual scale. At site.col says for each site, set up a factor col. So when we come to the analysis, we'll see that ASRML has expanded that to at site1.col, at site2.col, and at site3.col. And so there are three terms, and so we have three initial variances obtained from our previous analyses. And then we have a term site.test, which is saying we want to estimate test line effects for each site. The variance header line, we could say 3, 2, 1, but we've got the word site here because site is the controlling factor which has three levels and indicates that there are three sites. So that first position indicates the number of sites, three sites. Each site is laid out in two dimensions, and then there is one of the random model terms which we're going to supply a variance structure to. That is the site.test term, as we'll see. Well, let's look first at the three residual structures, the three R structures. For site 1, it's a 12 by 34 arrangement. We put in the numbers here because if we'd actually used the label col and row, it would have imputed 15 and 34, but there's only 12 by 34 for the first one, 12 by 34 for the second, 15 by 28 for the third. So we need to put in the actual numbers in this case. The second field gives us the information that tells us that the field to sort and check that the plots are properly sorted. Then we have the model to be fitted. The first site is an AR1 by AR1 with those initial parameters, and we've estimated the parameters in the previous run, so we know what starting values to put in. Second site is an AR1 by AR1. The third site, though, there is no autocorrelation associated with columns, and so we'll put an identity for columns and autoregressive one for rows. Now, the other thing that is extra in this case is that we have exclamation mark S2 equals 2.19, or S squared equals 0.84. These are the site-specific variances. The correlation structure for site 1, say, is an autoregressive correlation associated with rows, a direct product with an autoregressive correlation associated with columns, and the whole thing is scaled by a common variance, 2.19, similarly for the other sites. We then move to the G structure, and the G structure, we said there was one coming on the variance header line, and so we specify that it is site.test is the term that has the G structure, and we want a two-dimensional structure for this. And this example, we've said let's use a factor analytic 1 model as a variance structure across sites. In other words, we're going to have a different genetic variance for each site and a covariance within sites Now, we could have used an unstructured model or some kind of other correlation model as well. There are six parameters that we can estimate because there are three sites, so there are three variances and three covariances, but there are various ways that they can be estimated or various structural models that can be used. So in this case, we've used the factor analytic one formulation. We haven't specified what the particular variances are because we haven't fitted this model before. We don't really have a good estimate, but we expect the reasonable correlations between the sites. So a loading of 0.5 means a correlation of 0.25, and the variance of 0.1 is in line with the kind of variances that we've seen for the other components of the model. Well, we run the model and get some estimates of the variance parameters. We see that when we've put in the correlation structure, the column variance component for site 1 has dropped out of the model. It's no longer important. In other words, what appeared to be column variation when we did a single site analysis has now been taken up by the test line variation. We can drop the column variation as an explanation from our model. Site 2 and site 3, though, still have column variation. That's important. Site 3 has row variation. That's important. We now have the estimates of the variance parameters associated with the R structure, the variance and two correlations. We can compare those with the initial values, and we see that they have changed a little bit. The residual variance before was 2.19. Now it's come up to 2.60. The spatial correlation in the first four columns was 0.127. It's now come up to 0.407. And this is because we're able to estimate the variety effects better by borrowing the information from the other sites, and so we're also able to estimate the residuals in a better way. So we have the set of effects there, and we then move down to the variance structure for the site.test term, and the parameters that have come out here, the correlation loadings are 0.5, 1.1, 0.73. Now, that means that the correlation between the first and the second sites is 0.5 times 1.1, which is 0.58, and we see that in the little display at the bottom. The correlation between the first and the third is 0.5 times 0.7, and that's 0.38. We see that down the bottom as well. But the fact that the second loading is greater than 1 points to what's called a Hayward case, in that that value squared is greater than 1, which means the specific variance associated with site 2 is less than 1. Now, this matrix is still positive definite. We have a situation here where the correlation kind of points to explaining a lot of the information for that second site. Now, we might want to modify our model and remove that negative specific variation and constrain the model in some other way, which we could do, although I'm not going to do that now. So at the bottom, we have the covariance matrix for the three sites, the variances on the diagonal, the covariances between the sites below the diagonal, the correlations between the sites above the diagonal, as estimated from the factor analytic model. But we could have got similar answers had we used an unstructured model or one of the other models that's available in ASRML. Just to conclude this discussion, we'd mention that we've applied this form of analysis to large numbers of sites, that is, up to 100 sites, and in that case we need to use the extended factor analytic model to estimate the variance parameters. You can just imagine if you had 100 sites and you formed an unstructured variance covariance matrix across that, you would have some 55 100 variance parameters, which is far more than ASReml can estimate. But if you have, say, 100 sites and fit an extended factor analytic model, say factor analytic 2, you will have maybe 100 variance parameters and 200 loading parameters, which is 300. You're probably going to have another 300 spatial parameters and a few other parameters, which is still quite a large model, but it is feasible to fit. But that introduces a whole new can of worms for the recognition of situations where there's no additional genetic variance. It's all correlated across the structures. That is, we're using the singular form of the extended factor analytic model, and that's been discussed by some papers written by Alison Smith. So this turns out to be a very powerful form of combining information from a series of trials which have genotypes in common.